This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Both his servant and his messenger. We are encouraged as Muslims to recite Surah Al-Kahf on every Friday. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf fi yawm al-jum'ah adha'a lahu min an-nuri ma bayna al-jum'atayn." One hadith, the Prophet said that whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Friday, that Allah will give him a light that will enlighten between his two Fridays. Allah will give him a light between that week from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qara'a 10 ayat min akhir al-kahf," aw fi riwayat min awa'il surat al-kahf, "usima min fitnat ad-dajjal." At the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites 10 verses from Surah Al-Kahf, meaning he has memorized them, will be protected from the fitna of a Dajjal. Now, someone may ask the question, what is the connection between fitna and between Surah Al-Kahf? What is the connection between light and between Surah Al-Kahf? This surah has four stories. Each of these stories is about fitna. And if you understand the lessons of these stories, you are gifted light. The first story are the youth running to the cave, running to protect their Islam. It is the fitna of being tested in our faith, in our beliefs, in our religion. The second story is the fitna of wealth with the man of the two gardens. The third story is the fitna of knowledge, Musa and Al-Khidr, and this concept of knowledge and not knowing why bad things happen sometimes in the world. And the fourth is the fitna of power and authority, and it is the story of Dhul-Qurnayn. In previous khutbahs, we've talked about the first story, the youth running to protect their faith. And we've spoken about the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. And today I want to comment on the story of Al-Jannatayn, of the two gardens, and the man who is given two gardens. Before Allah tells us this story, He says something. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. That indeed those who believe and do good deeds, we will not waste the reward of those who do good. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ. They will have the gardens that are permanent. Adn means permanent. The permanent gardens, meaning paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to describe the pleasures and the beauty of paradise. Then He speaks about the story. It's as if Allah Azza wa Jal is setting the stage in our mind of the difference between this world and the next world. The Jannah of the next world, that is Jannati Adn, the permanent Jannat, the permanent gardens, and then the gardens of this world. وَضُرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. Give them the example of two men. One of them, we gave him two gardens. مِنْ أَعْنَاب. These gardens have grapes. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ. And we surrounded them with date palms. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. And we gave them many crops in between. This man had two gardens. And what does Allah mention about these gardens? One, that it has grapes. And grapes historically is the most expensive, the most luxurious, the most difficult of the fruits to cultivate, the most expensive of the fruits to sell. And then Allah says, وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ. And we surrounded these grapes, these crops of grapes, with nakhl, with the date palm trees. And date palm trees are incredibly strong, incredibly sturdy. And so if winds come, the date palms can protect against it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not only did I give him of the best of crops, the dates and the grapes, but I protected the delicate crops, his grapes, with the strength of the date palm trees around it. So He arranged it perfectly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. And between them we gave them so many crops. He didn't only have the grapes and the dates, but there were many other crops that were given to him, many other fruits that were given to him as well. كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا. Allah says, both of these gardens, they gave their full amount. They produced all of its fruits, meaning they always yielded the maximum output. There was never a shortage. There was never a spoilage. There were never the trees that just don't produce, as sometimes is the case. There were never incidents of animals or pests coming in and eating all the grapes or eating a good portion of them. No, Allah says they gave all of it. All of the fruits were given. كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And it didn't fall short in any respect. There was no loss. There was no falling short whatsoever. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهْرًا. And Allah says, and between all of this, we gave him a river. Subhanallah. The man barely had to raise a finger. He didn't have to irrigation to bring water to his crops. He didn't have to have, you know, those huge pails where they're collecting the rainwater and then bringing the rainwater to his crops. No, between his crops, Allah sent a river. So the water is coming automatically to all of these crops within his garden. Allah gave it, made it super easy for him. There's a river all between it. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمْرُ. And Allah says, and he had fruits. ثَمْر here means fruits, but reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by this, he had luxuries beyond fruits. Meaning he had the gardens, and he had the dates, and he had the fruits. But here when he says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمْرُ, it means he had even more than this. He had horses. He had gold. He had silver. He had money. He had everything. Anything that a man at that time would have wanted, this man had it. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمْرٌ. But what did the wealth do to him? How did the wealth change this man? What effect did it have on him? فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. So he says to his companion, he speaks to his friend, his companion, and tells him something. فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. While he's arguing with him and conversing with him, قال أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. I have more money than you, and I am mightier in the number of men, in my men and my children. And so, what is he really saying? I have more than you, and I'm better than you. أعز. Like, not only do I have more than you, a bigger family and more money, but even I have more nobility than you. My children are more noble than your children. And realize, in the previous verses, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about his gardens, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا. We gave him, we gave him. We made for him this. When he speaks, what does he say? أَنَا أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا. I have more than you. I have more money than you. I... He is ascribing nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's ascribing everything to whom? To himself. I did this. I made this. I have this. This is how feeble men are. That we assume it's my intelligence, and my degree, and my hard work, and my creativity, and my genius of why I have what I have. When the reality is with all of your work ethic and all of your degrees and all of your creativity, you would have nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would have not even a morsel of bread to put in your mouth were it not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this man assumes a number of things. The first assumption is that his grandeur of money makes him a better person. I'm better than you. I'm greater in possession, and therefore I am greater than you. وَأَعَزُّ مِنْكَ أَنْ أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. And then he says, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Allah says, he entered his garden while he is unjust to himself. So Allah is describing him walking through his garden. And you can imagine this man is walking around with arrogance, feeling like he's so amazing, like he's better than everyone else. I have all of this under my power. All of these men I command. All of this wealth comes to me. And so what does Allah describe him as? ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He is unjust to himself. He's wronging himself. Because what does this arrogance do except destroy yourself? He thinks I'm better than everyone else. In reality, he hasn't harmed anyone else. He's only harmed himself. And then he says, قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I think that this will never go away. This will never ever perish. So he makes another assumption. that just because he has wealth now, today, that he will always have wealth. But remember, Allah begins the story, even before the story, by talking to us about what? Jannatu Adn, the permanent gardens. Because what is permanent is in the next life. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything on this world will perish, will go away. What will remain? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, the face of your Lord, full of honor and might. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He decides will remain. The next life will remain, but this life will all perish. But He assumes, because I have this today, I will have it tomorrow. And so He puts all of His hopes on the dunya, thinking that this world will stay forever. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا, and I do not think that the hour will occur, meaning the day of judgment. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا, and if I were to be brought back to my Lord, then I will surely find even better in return. So he makes yet another assumption, that he denies the day of judgment. He denies the hereafter. Someone may feel like these things are disconnected. Money is disconnected from this idea of the day of judgment. But it's not. You see, he becomes so engrossed in this dunya, in this world, that he doesn't care at all about the next life. And he dismisses the next life so much so that he says, I don't think that there is an hour. I don't think that there is a day of judgment. And then he makes an even bigger assumption. And if there is a day of judgment, and if I go back to Allah, I'm sure He will give me even better than what I have right now. Now, why would he think this? He thought that if I have these gardens, and if I have this wealth today, it must mean that Allah is happy with me. He thinks that because he has wealth, it must mean that he's a better person. It must mean that Allah loves him. And this is one of the pinnacles of delusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this mindset in other verses in the Quran, for instance, in Surah Al-Fajr. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah says, as for man, when his Lord tries him, tests him, and is generous to him. So see, the test is he gets lots of money. This is the test. So his Lord tests him and is generous to him. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. He says, my Lord has honored me. وَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ. And as for man, when his Lord tests him, فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. And so he restricts his money. See, both are tests. Whether you're given money or you're not given money, these are both tests. The second one, if he restricts his money, what does he say? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. My Lord has humiliated me. This person's mindset is, if Allah gives me money, power, fame in the dunya, it means He loves me. And if He doesn't give me these things, it means He doesn't love me. This is the mindset of many people. In fact, there's a name for it. It's called the prosperity doctrine. And it's very popular in Christianity. And sometimes you see these pastors and they have their private jets and they have their mansions and they're making all this money. And they say, this is a sign that God loves me. So the people give them even more money. This is a very corrupted mentality. What does Allah say? Kalla. No. He rejects all of this. بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Allah says, no, rather you do not feed the orphan. وَلَا تَحَادُونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Nor are you striving to feed the hungry and the needy. What is Allah saying? He's saying, you want to know the sign of whether Allah loves you? The sign of whether Allah loves you is not whether He gave you money. The sign is whether He allows you to do good deeds. If you're feeding the orphan, if you're feeding the ones who are in need, if you're doing good things, that's the sign that Allah loves you. He's enabling you to do more good. And Allah says, in the dunya is not worth much. The Prophet ﷺ said, in authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِ الدُّنْيَا لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ وَلِمَنْ لَا يُحِبُّ. Allah gives this dunya to whom He loves and to whom He does not love. This dunya He will give to everyone. وَكُلَّنْ نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we give to everyone from the gifts of your Lord. from this group and that group, the Muslim, the kafir, everybody gets from the dunya. That's not the sign of Allah's love. وَلَا يُعْطِ الْآخِرَةَ أَوْ فِي رِوَايَةَ وَلَا يُعْطِ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ. That he does not give the akhirah, or one narration, he does not give iman, faith, except to the ones whom he loves. But this man thinks, Allah gave me these gardens, therefore he must love me. And therefore, he will bless me in the next life as well. وَقَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. But his friend, his companion, who is speaking with him, he tells him, أَكَفَرْت. Have you made kufr? Now, notice something. The man was insulted from the very beginning. The first thing his companion said to him was what? أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I have more money than you, and I have more dignity and more power than you. Imagine somebody came up to you and said, my car is better than yours. I have more money in my bank account than you. I earn more money than you. I've got a better house than you. You would get upset. Your ego would feel this person's insulting me. The man didn't say anything. When did he speak up? When he started to speak against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he spoke up. And what did he say? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. Are you disbelieving in the one who created you? This is the character of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, مَنْ تَقَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِنَفْسِهِ. The Prophet never ever took revenge for his own sake. But if the rights of Allah were transgressed, then he would get upset sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And so the man didn't, you know, his ego was not the issue. But when he heard the man speaking against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying the day of judgment, then he spoke up. أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. Are you doing kufr? Now kufr can mean two things. It can mean disbelief, and the opposite is iman, is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah is the one who created you, and of you are those who are kafir, disbelieving, and of you are those who are mu'min, believing. So kafir, and the opposite is mu'min, is iman. But also it can mean ingratitude, being ungrateful. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ فَإِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Allah says, if you are grateful, I will increase for you. And if you do kufr, i.e. if you are ungrateful, then indeed my punishment will be severe. So here the primary meaning of this verse is, are you being ungrateful to Allah? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. Are you being ungrateful to the one who has created you? And then what does he say? The one who created you, مِن تُرَاب. He created you from dust, from dirt. ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَة. Then from a sperm, a drop of sperm. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Then he made you into a man. What's the point of saying all of this? He's trying to humble him, to bring humility to his heart, to remind him of what he really is. There's a story of one of the Salaf. He sees one of the kings or the princes, he's walking with arrogance, strutting along. So he tells him, Allah does not like this walk. This walk of walking with arrogance, Allah does not like it. So the man turns back to him and he says, أَتَعْرَفْنِي. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Who's my father? What my rank is? What my nobility is? The man says, yes, I know who you are. He says, who are you? He said, أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٍ مَذِيرًا وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٍ قَذِيرًا. He said, your beginning was a drop of sperm. And your end, آخِرُكَ جِيفَةٍ قَذِيرًا. Your end will be a rotting corpse. وَأَنْتَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذِرَ. And between that, between being a sperm, a drop of sperm, and between a rotten corpse, you are a vessel carrying impurities. The impurities that we relieve ourselves of, that's what you are carrying. So why is he saying this? He's bringing the man down. He's giving him some humility. Why do you think you're such a big deal? So he's doing the same thing in this verse. He's telling him, Allah created you from dirt. The Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّكُم مِّنْ آدَمْ وَآدَمُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. All of you are from Adam, and Adam was from dirt. Don't think of you as being so great. If some dirt comes on your head, you feel disgusted with it. You feel bothered by it, but you were made from that dirt. So don't lift yourself above people like that. And then he says, لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. But as for me, Allah is my Rabb. He is my Lord. I don't follow this path. I recognize that He is my creator, He is my sustainer, He is my provider, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And I do not commit shirk with my Lord, with anyone. I do not associate anyone with my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what shirk is happening? When the man was speaking, was he worshipping other than Allah? No. He wasn't. There was no idol he was bringing, right? But why does he tell him, I don't do shirk? Because the shirk the man was doing was lifting himself up, was his own ego, was him ascribing all the things in his life to himself, all the good things ascribing it to himself. This was a form of shirk, the shirk of his own ego, his own nafs. So he says, I don't do shirk. ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. He said, why did you not, when you entered your garden, why did you not say, ما شاء الله, this is what Allah has willed. لا قوة إلا بالله, there is no power other than Allah. First of all, there's a point here that even when he's criticizing him, he doesn't just, you know, some Muslims, when they want to criticize someone, it's all bad. It's like, you did this, you are that, you are... Even while he's criticizing him, you see he's giving him solutions. He's giving him nasiha. Why didn't you instead, you know, say, mashallahu la quwwata illa billah, when you enter your garden? Why didn't you feel humility and say, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal has willed, and that there is no power other than through Allah Azza wa Jal? La quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, something our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to say often in our lives, that he called it a door from the doors of Jannah. Right? And so this is a powerful phrase. Why? It reminds us we have no ability other than through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the muadhin says, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come to prayer, come to success, we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why? To remind us, even our prayer, standing up for it, getting up, you're sitting down, you hear that, to get up, even standing up, you can't do it without Allah Azza wa Jal allowing you to do it. Everything comes through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so we realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Even if you see me, so this is your perception, not the reality, even if you see me as being lesser than you in wealth and in children, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ. I hope, or perhaps my Lord will give me better than what He has given you in your gardens. Even if my garden is not as big as yours, I have faith in the next life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me. But as for you, aren't you worried that your arrogance will bring your destruction? He says, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِينِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا. That your Lord might send upon you a calamity from the sky, and it will become a smooth and dusty ground. And just as the two of them are arguing, just as they are speaking, this exact thing happens. أَوْ يُصْبِحُ مَاءُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا. Or your water will become sunken into the earth and you will not be able to seek it. And just as they are speaking, the destruction comes. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. Allah says His fruits have been encompassed by ruin. Notice Allah spent verses describing His gardens. But when He described the ruin, He said two things. Two words. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. His fruits became ruined. Why? Two reasons. Number one, Allah is indicating how quickly the garden was destroyed versus how long it took to cultivate. It took him a long time to cultivate it. It took a short time to be destroyed. So Allah spends verses talking about the garden, and just in two words it was destroyed. The other reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us how little the dunya means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means very little. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَهِ. He began to wring his hands out of regret. عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا. Thinking about all the money he put, all the effort he put into his garden, now it's all gone. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عَرُوشِهَا. It's a phrase, it means literally the roof has been collapsed. All of it has been destroyed. What was at the top is now at the bottom, totally collapsed. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And he says, oh, how I wish I did not associate anyone with my Lord. وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا. And there was no company or aid to defend him other than Allah, nor could he defend himself. In the beginning, he's saying, I have all of these men. أَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I have all this strength, all this might, all this power. What did it avail him in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It did nothing for him. What did all his money and his children and his men do to him? Nothing. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, this is wilaya here. Sometimes it's mistranslated, even in the translation I have. It says authority. Wilaya can mean authority, but in this context, it means protection. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. This is the protection of Allah in truth. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقُبًا. He is the best in reward and the best in outcome. And so, in times of ease, everybody has Allah's blessing, Muslim or non-Muslim. When the punishment comes, we need the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His guardianship and His protection. And so, this man, in times of ease, is arrogant, but he doesn't have the protection of Allah in times of punishment. And then Allah says, هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا. The protection of Allah is the greater reward and the best outcome, the best end result. The man is arrogant when he has money in the dunya. How do you know you will have money at the end? How do you know you will have blessings at the end? And the man does not know this. The real winner is the one who gets it at the end. The Muslim says, yes, my garden is modest. I don't have a garden like you, but in the end I have faith that Allah will give me better than even what you have. And so the end reward is with the one who believes in Allah. فَأَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I want to address one thing. I don't know how much time I have. I don't have a clock on me. But I assume short, not enough time. Khair inshallah. I want to mention one thing, because I do think it's important. There's a prominent feature in our culture, this culture called the hustle culture. The idea of hustling, working hard to earn a lot of money. And so you have a side hustle, a side business, or a side job, or something that you're doing to earn as much money as you can. And on the face of it, there's nothing bad with this. After all, as Muslims, we want to have a work ethic, and we want to work hard, and we want to earn, for sure. But as you dig deeper, you start to see how this culture can be very damaging for a Muslim for different reasons. The first is expectations. The person has this expectation to be incredibly wealthy, and they put all of this work to attain the expectation. But as we know, risk, provision is in the hands of Allah. Work ethic is a means to attain that provision, but if Allah doesn't want us to have it, we're not going to have it. If Allah has not written it for us, it will not take place. You will only have what Allah has written for you. So the Muslim has to live between ambition on one hand and working hard, and on the other hand being content with whatever happens for him is the best. But when you have expectations of wealth, and then you work really hard, and you still don't achieve it, because it's an expectation, the person starts to feel broken inside. So many young men in our community, they feel broken, insecure, self-hating, because they're not millionaires at the age of 30 like they expected that they would be. Not hoped, they expected they would be. In this story, both of the men have gardens, the Muslim and the Kafir. The Muslim's garden was not as impressive, and we can presume he worked hard on it, but he was content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. The second point is Muslims should not make wealth their goal. Our goal should be barakah. Our goal should be the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And barakah is that you have a ziyada, you have an increase. It's not necessarily about having more, but it's that what you have gives you more. Right? To have barakah is that you earn it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by turning to Allah and having your life centered around the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the hustle culture, you center yourself, your ego, your desires, just like the man in the story. The hustle culture teaches you that you eliminate relationships that don't help you attain your monetary goals. So they'll spend so much time working and ignoring their kids and their spouse. Whereas if your life is centered around barakah, you're going to work hard, but you're also going to give time and rights to your children, to your parents, to your spouse, right? To your community. And this gives you internal relief and comfort. And the hustle culture as well is based on personal success. It's about me, me, me. Whereas if we focused on barakah, we would be focused on our impact. We would have purpose. That purpose, yes, might include earning money so we put food on the table, we feed our family, we have some pleasures in our life, sure, but also to build the masajid, like to build this masjid inshaAllah. To have purpose that we also want to strengthen the da'wah, to protect the Muslims. So we're purpose driven. Whereas the dunya culture, the hustle culture, it's all about me, 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 my money, my fame, my ego. And so this man measures his worth in his gardens. But the Muslim man says, no, my worth is more than this. My worth is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if my garden in this world is small, Allah might give me even more when I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are two things I wanted to say. Another thing I wanted to say is today is the day of, you know, truth and reconciliation. I gave a khutbah about this before recently, so I didn't want to mention it again. But as a reminder for us to learn the history of this country that we are in and the atrocities that occurred. Just today I was reading about something called the Starlight Tours, which is when police would take indigenous people, indigenous men, drive far away in the middle of winter. They would do this in Saskatchewan, leave them there and drive away and leave them to die. So there's a lot of oppression that occurred in this country and we should be aware of it. And we should make sure that we are not perpetuating oppression. And finally, I also want to mention before I conclude, Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi, who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept his contributions, to enter him into Jannah. When our scholars pass away, even if we might have some differences of opinion with them in one matter or another, they are our scholars. They contributed to Islam. They tried as hard as they could. They lived their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to serve this ummah. We should respect them. We should make dua for them. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them with the prophets and the righteous and the truthful, and to ask us to benefit from the best of their work. Bi-idhnillah. Fa-aqulu qawli hadha. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim 'ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin ma dhakarahu adh-dhakiruna al-abrar. Wa salli 'alayhi rabbana ma tadawwa'a misku wa fah. Salli 'alayhi rabbana salat.